From the Oklahoman studios, this is the Oklahoman's Varsity Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Jordan. I'm here today with my co-hosts, Nick Sardis and Abby Bitterman. How's it going?
What's up?
It's going good.
Just good?
Just good. I don't know. It's a beautiful fall day out.
It is. It's actually, today is like perfect. Like if we could actually have a fall that's like a month and a half of this, I'd be really happy. But the 4 or 5 days that we get of this weather, it's just ridiculous. But that's Oklahoma, I guess. Unfortunately.
Yep. I ate lunch outside today. It was beautiful.
I mean, hopefully the bugs didn't eat all your stuff, because I've still seen plenty of bugs.
No, but there was like a bee that came up and...
Where'd you go?
I went with OU beat writer Joe Masato to the Mont, and...
Oh, you had a swirl.
I did not have a swirl, but we did have chips and queso, and a bee tried to join in on the chips and queso.
Well, heck yeah, I would have too if I was the bee.
Yeah.
Chips and queso.
Yeah. The bee, like, it came by, and then we thought it left, and then it just kept coming back. It was a very persistent bee.
Sounds about right. We're going to talk a little bit about today, talk a little bit about the Week 7 schedule. It's fall break, so most of the games are happening on Thursday. Talk a little bit about some of the games that we're out covering this week, some of the games we had last week and the predictions that we had that went wrong.
If you were me.
That's true. And just a little bit about state championships that we had last week and looking ahead to the ones that we have coming up in the future, in the kind of down the line. Want to talk about the best things we saw last week. I'll kind of start. For me, it was the volleyball crowds at the state tournament, at the state championship. The best crowds that I have seen this year, and adamantly the best crowds by far, have been volleyball crowds. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because the gym, the closed impact. Those volleyball fans, the student sections, and the parents, they get rowdy. The Lincoln Christian student section, and every student section that was there was incredible. Lincoln Christian, Class 4A, they ended up topping Regent Prep to win the second consecutive state title. They won in 3A last year, won it in 4A this year. Their students were ridiculously awesome the entire match. Like, I thought they were tired. I'm sure some of them were football players, played in the game the night before. It was incredible to me how much those people were just going crazy and just losing their mind the whole time. The parents were really into the games. The kids were feeding off the energy too. Like, any time there was a run, the crowd would get into it, and then you could just see it in the kids. They were like it's just really cool. But no, not a shots fired at any of the football schools or any crowds anywhere else. But the volleyball crowds I saw this weekend were incredible. Out at Shawnee, and then even at Choctaw High School for the quarterfinals on Friday in Class 4A. So, to you volleyball parents and fans and crowds, touche to you. You guys are awesome. I mean, I got to tip my hat.
You know, I was going to say all the interceptions that, well, all the three interceptions that Bethany had against Tuttle, that's what I was going to say. But Cameron, you just reminded me that the crowds for Class 3A through B state tournament softball, they were also incredible. I mean, every school had a gigantic crowd every day. But I think the best crowd, or the best student section by far, was Morrison. Those kids were lit the entire time, just cheer, like doing organized standing, doing organized cheers the entire game. At the end of the game, both schools, their players get called one by one to receive medals, and then the losing team receives the second place trophy, winning team receives the first place trophy, and they all like waited very patiently until after the team got the first place trophy and like took a few pictures, and then they like stormed the field, and it was just this huge like kind of almost like a party with the Morrison students and the Morrison team after they won the Class A state title. And yeah, that was just, as someone who played softball for a long time, it was really cool to see a crowd react like that to a softball game.
I think if I remember saying correctly, that was Morrison's first state title in any sport outside of football, correct?
That is correct. They're at, I'll get back to all the state, like who won their first state titles in softball when we get to that later. But yes, that was Morrison's first state title in any sport that wasn't football. Got a lot of football state titles, though.
Best thing I saw, Dale beat Silo in the Class A state championship game. And, I mean, it was just an incredible game. It was 4-3, and in the top of the seventh inning, Cade McQuain hit a kind of go-ahead RBI single And, I mean, it was just a really fun game to watch. So that was probably the best thing I saw.
I feel like I have to give it up to you again. Didn't you pick that result?
I did.
I mean, you're just rolling in the picks right now. Like, I wouldn't want to... I mean, you need to go to Vegas with the luck you're on. Like,
okay, so softball. I'm going to be covering softball this week. And we're going to not abide by the Kirk Herbstreit rules. And I'm gonna go ahead and pick these games. Okay, 4A. You know my thoughts about 4A. Who is it?
Newcastle.
That's right.
Well, I mean, you know, last week you predicted that Newcastle would beat defending champ Tuttle, but Tuttle didn't make the tournament, so I feel like
Say would win, Abby?
You said Newcastle would win.
That's all that matters, girlfriend. That's all that matters. So 4A, Newcastle. 5A, Carl Albert Titans. 6A, this one's tough, but I'm probably going to go with Westmore.
Not bad picking the defending champs, though.
Yeah. So that, go ahead, Cam.
I'll write it down.
Carl Albert's, this will be their third straight title if they win. And yes, like Cameron just said, Westmore is the defending state champion. So, you know, some fair picks.
So I'm not covering any state championships this weekend. I'm not going to be in Tulsa for volleyball, but I'm going to be watching it thoroughly for 6A, 5A. No offense to anyone, I'm not going to say I'm going to go out on a limb and not pick Victory Christian to win in Class 5A, but they're 31-2 this year and have just dominated nearly every team they play. They've beaten 6A teams, they've beaten 5A teams. I'm going to pick Victory Christian to win in 5A, and then if we're going to go 6A, I believe that the West is really strong this year, but Broken Arrow has the best team. They've been ranked at the top nearly all year, except for one of the first initial rankings that came out. As good as we have expunded some of the Edmond schools this year, some of the West Side teams, I just think that Broken Arrow has the top team. So I will pick Broken Arrow to win Class 6A volleyball, since we're making predictions. So yes, I have to write that down as well. Kind of looking back at the games that we covered last week, I think one of the biggest ones that stood out across the state was a rematch of the Class 4A title game between Bethany and Tuttle. That game was played down in Tuttle, and I got to give it up to Bethany. I watched them earlier this season, and I thought that they were still a really strong team. I just thought Tuttle was a little bit better, and I picked Tuttle to win that game, and Tuttle got shut out. Bethany played outstanding.
Tuttle did not look like they were going to be able to move the ball at any point. They had less than 100 yards of total offense in that game, and their quarterback just could not complete a pass. I think the first pass he completed was to someone on Bethany because it got intercepted. So the Bethany defense was just incredible in that game.
Explain how Sam Brandt played. I heard he played really well.
Oh, he did play really well on both sides of the ball too. He's
a safety, right? Or is he a linebacker?
He's a safety and he's their starting quarterback.
Yeah,
as well.
Safety. Okay.
Yeah. He caught an interception himself. Threw a touchdown, ran for a touchdown. Really good moving the ball down the field. I think he was their leading rusher. I'm blanking on this wide receiver's name. But he and one of their wide receivers just had a great game on both sides of the ball. Cameron, why are you looking at me like that?
I'm trying to remember his name as well, and I cannot off the top of my head.
Explain Sam.
It's in the lead to my story, so if y'all want to go look back at that.
Explain Sam Brandt's recruitment, Cam.
You know, he has a bunch of Division II looks, and he's having a few teams that are looking at him in Division I. The biggest thing that's holding Sam back, and this isn't any of his own fault, it's just his size. He's undersized for a quarterback. For a defensive back, he's a little undersized as well. Sam is strong. He has the strength. He has the talent. It's his size. It's his height is what it is.
How tall is he?
5'11", 6 foot. I mean, he's right in that range. I mean, he's a fantastic – he's one of the top quarterbacks in the state. He's easily one of the top defensive backs in the state. I mean, you could put him on any team from Class 6A down to Class C, and he would excel tremendously.
I wouldn't say that's undersized for a defensive back.
I mean, just the
5'11", 6 foot?
Kind of depends. I could be off on his height. I mean, I don't want to be saying I'm off on his height, but that's what if I'm remembering correctly. But it's just his recruiting, the biggest thing why I don't think that he's gotten a ton of Division I offers is because he wants to play quarterback in college. That's what he wants to play. And he's only had one school Pitt State, who's offered him at quarterback. And I'm sure that more are going to do that. Most of the schools are going to offer him at defensive back, though, is what he's getting from Division II. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Division I school come in and offer him. I mean, it's just he's too good of a player. I mean, that it's just plain and simple. He can make plays. He's going to make team around him better. But no, Sam is a really special talent.
You don't need to raise your hand in the podcast, Abby.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt Cameron, but I remembered the name of the wide receiver. It was Ben Lawson.
Ben Lawson.
Did you remember it, or did you look it up?
No, I literally was just staring out into the window in the Oklahoman's podcast studio, and it came to me. I would also like to say a shout out to the Bethany radio crew who I shared a press box with on Friday at Tuttle. It was a tight fit, but we all made the space work, and yeah, there were some nice people. Nice to meet them.
Kind of, I don't want to get too far off on this game or the other game that we're going to discuss from last week, but Putnam North, Tulsa Union, the biggest story from that game, Putnam North, Aaron Norman's a fantastic quarterback. Zachary Dorch is a fantastic running back and linebacker. Putnam North had 3 turnovers. Tulsa Union had 0. And Putnam North had 3 red zone opportunities and scored 0 points. 31-7, Tulsa Union was the final score. That's the biggest thing from that game. Putnam North is a really good team. They're going to be able to compete in 6A1, and they're going to give teams on the east side of the state a challenge. But biggest thing that hampered their offense was they played a defense that's getting healthy. Tulsa Union had its star linebacker back and just turned the ball over 3 times and had 3 trips in the red zone and turned out to get 0 points. So, I mean, that's the biggest difference from that game. And then the one that Nick was at, Washington-Millwood, Washington just dominated physically, it seems.
They did. I mean, they just pounded the ball with Lance Spaulding. I think he had like 33 carries over 200 yards. And yeah, they just completely dominated the game.
I saw a video of one of his touchdown runs of he's running into the end zone and there's a Millwood guy right in front of him.
And he just plowed
just
over him.
Runs right. I mean, puts his shoulder down and the Millwood guy's on his back probably thinking he needs to go to do something else besides football. But
yeah, Lance Spaulding is he's a special player for sure.
And that game is impressive to me because Millwood's offense is really talented and
their freshman quarterback Michael Taffy is really good.
He's so good. God, he's gonna be a star.
Oh, he really is.
He's only a freshman. That's the thing. He's been so good so early. Kind of looking ahead to some games this week. Nick is gonna be covering Millwood again. He's gonna get a chance to watch Michael Taffy again. Watching Lexington and Millwood. Lexington's won 4 straight games. They're 4-2, and they're facing Millwood, who's also 4-2. That's going to be an interesting matchup of kind of defense and offense. Lexington has a really strong defense and an offense that likes to kind of chew the clock down, whereas Millwood's going to go really fast. They want to score a lot of points, and they're going to use their speed to their advantage. Abby's going to go out to Choctaw tomorrow for a game between Putnam West and Choctaw. Going to be writing a little feature off of that game. I don't want to spoil it too much. You guys can find it in Friday's Oklahoman, though. And then myself...
Buy the paper.
And then myself, I'm going to be up at Kingfisher and in Kingfisher for Perkins Tryon. Kingfisher, Perkins Tryon had the ball with 20 seconds left last week, tied at 21 with number 1 Heritage Hall, and ended up throwing an interception to Philip Smitherman for Heritage Hall. Took it back all the way for a touchdown and ended up Heritage Hall, you could say, escaped Perkins with a victory. They're a little banged up, but Philip, who to me has been one of the best players in the state that I've seen this year, came up massive with a huge play there at the end. I think this game is going to be really important for number 2 seed in that district to be able to host a first-round playoff game. You have Perkins, who's 5-1, second consecutive seasons to start 5-0. They were a team last year that was really, really young, just didn't have a lot of experience in big games. Now as juniors, they're a lot better, really good team, really physical team, and I think that they're going to have a really strong case to win this game. Then you look at Kingfisher, 4-2, have dominated in district play so far, 3-0. Their only 2 losses, though, were to teams in a classification higher than them who played in the Class 4A state title game last week. Or last year.
It was a
but
rematch
they,
last week.
They did
week,
play last
so.
Week. So that's their only 2 losses this year, is to Tuttle and Bethany. So that's going to be an interesting matchup as well. Moving ahead to some state tournament coverage. I know Abby and Nick are going to both be doing a little bit of softball this week, and I kind of already mentioned my volleyball. Do you guys want to talk a little bit? I know Nick has already made his bold predictions for softball, but Abby, what are some keys to watch for this week at the softball tournament?
Well, as always with fast pitch softball, just one of the biggest keys is pitching. I mean, usually the teams with the better pitchers always tend to win if you have a dominant pitcher, even just one, that's all it really takes in softball. So that's a big key. As we already mentioned, the defending champs are back in classes 6A and 5A, but in 4A, Tuttle got knocked out. Newcastle, who under Coach Mike Crossley has been to seven state title games and only won one, they are in it, and they're the top they're the top seed for the tournament, or for the 4A tournament. But I talked to him a little bit earlier today, and he said that this is probably one of the toughest tournaments he's ever seen, and he's been the coach at Newcastle for quite a long time. So no, but there should be some good games, and I mean, last week's state tournaments were a lot of fun too. Classes 3A through B, they were a great time. You mind if I go through all the winners?
No, go ahead.
Those? Yeah, so in class 3A, Tishomingo won. They beat Washington. It's Washington is the class 3A runner-up now for the second year in a row. But Tishomingo, this was their first state title in softball. And then in class 2A, Silo won, also their first state title in softball. After the game, their coach told me that, you know, they've lost to Dale for the past 2 years in a row, and they had just been trying to get better to beat Dale, and they did it, so good for them. Class A, Morrison, like I mentioned before, they won their first state title in softball, and then Class B went to Kiowa, who won the championship last year, so they're the only defending champion to win in the classes 3A through B. But then I don't know if anyone saw on Twitter, but then they took a picture after the game all doing the horns down, so I don't know if that means they have to, you
disqualified.
Know, yeah, forfeit the title or anything. But no, they yeah.
And I'll kind of preview the state tournament bracket for Class 6A as of the recording time. Has not come out yet, but for 5A, for volleyball, Coweta will play Claremore on this is on Monday at Catoosa High School in Class 5A. Coweta will play Claremore at 10 a.m. Victory Christian will play Mount St. Mary, number 1 against number 8 at 11:45 a.m. Tulsa Kelly, Bishop Kelly will play Carl Albert at 1:30 p.m. And Bishop McGinnis will play Casha Hall at 3:15 p.m. The semifinals will be that evening. And then the championship will be 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday at Catoosa High School. The 6A championship of volleyball will be at 7:30 p.m. at Catoosa High School, with the semifinals and quarterfinals happening at Claremore. Like I said, that bracket has not come out yet. Yeah, and a really cool thing that's going to be happening at the volleyball championship, they're going to have a unified volleyball game, which is going to be some athletes from Special Olympics that have played in a round robin tournament. There were three teams on the eastern half of the state and three teams on the west half of the state. They played a round robin with each other throughout the season, and they're going to be playing on that Tuesday in a unified championship game, with a winner being declared and medals being handed out and a trophy or medals being handed out for sure. I'm not sure about a trophy yet beforehand, but that's going to be a really cool deal for Special Olympics and everything. It's going to be a really neat deal for just volleyball in general that they've been able to do that all year, and I'm sure it's going to be pretty special for all those kids who are able to do that. And then as far as fall baseball being done, the only other sport we have left is cross country. I know small school regionals are happening this Friday and Saturday, I believe, and state championships start next week for those, and then next week and next Saturday for 2A, 3A, 4A, and then 5A, 6A is the following Saturday. Any cross country news that's happened recently, Nick?
I can't think of any cross-country news off the top of my head.
People are running faster than I can.
That's right.
Same here.
I was always a good sprinter, but not a good distance runner, so.
Oh, I'm better at distance, but I don't think I would win any of these races.
Never.
Off topic. Abby, where are you going this weekend? Is that this weekend?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Explain.
This weekend, so Nick will be covering the state championship Saturday of the 6A through 4A softball tournament.
We know this. Get to
well,
that.
Because I will be in Arkansas to watch Auburn at Arkansas with my family. My cousin Hank goes to Arkansas, and his parents and my parents and one of our uncles is all going to, we're all going to watch the game.
Boy, the Razorbacks are just going to get stomped. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't care. I'm just going to see my family, and my parents are bringing down my big mirror that I didn't have room for in my car when I moved back down here. So I'm going for family and a mirror. I don't.
Big mirror.
The game's all right.
You better not break that mirror on the way back. That'd be really sad.
Oh, no, I'd cry. I mean, it was like $60 and from Home Goods, but I love it very dearly. So
we all have attachments that we're close to.
Yeah.
Guys, anything really else to add? I mean, kind of we've previewed looking ahead a little bit. Mike Snyder still going for the record at Seminole. They lost last week
to Idabel.
They're playing Stigler, who's another really good opponent this week. So they're in a really tough district. They're one of probably in the top three or four districts just in general in the state. 3A3 is just ridiculously tough. Lincoln Christian, Seminole, Shakota, and then you have Stigler as well, and then Idabel. I mean, that district is just tough.
Someone in Idabel, reach out and let me know if you're going to use my mascot idea. Free content for you.
We need to test Abby's Oklahoma knowledge.
Oh, gosh.
For those who don't know, Abby's not from here. She's from Chicago.
Chicago.
And I heard you mention Shakota.
When he mentioned that, my first thought was, I don't know where that is.
What from Shakota? What famous person's from Shakota? Who's from Shakota?
Carrie Underwood?
Yes.
Way, look at you.
Yes.
They have two big signs on I-40 going each way. It says, home of Carrie Underwood.
The game that I learned how to keep stats was UConn at Moore. And my dad said, I told my dad about it, and he said that it was Garth Brooks at Toby Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's
quite true.
Yes. We were all at that game.
Yeah, we were.
We sure were. My second guess, if Carrie Underwood was wrong, was going to be Miranda Lambert. Where's Miranda Lambert from?
She's not from Oklahoma.
She's not?
No, she was only ever down around Tishomingo because she was dating Blake Shelton.
Oh, okay. Is Blake Shelton from Oklahoma?
Yes.
Is he from Tishomingo?
I think he's from Ada.
I think he's from Ada. But somehow Tishomingo's in there somehow.
He has land. He has a bunch of... He has like a big ranch down there, I believe.
Okay.
My country music knowledge is not the best. Someone's going to flame me for this later, but I'm pretty sure I'm
just happy that I got Carrie Underwood right.
Yeah.
I knew she was from here.
Guys, anything else?
I still haven't seen Joker.
I haven't seen it. Probably won't see it.
Yeah, I don't plan on seeing it, but you've had a whole week, dude. What have you been doing?
I've been working. What are you talking about?
He has been working.
That's fair.
It's state tournament week.
We've all been working.
Well, I appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you guys for listening to the Oklahoma's Varsity Podcast. For Abby and Nick, I'm Cameron. And make sure you guys subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes. You can tune in next week. And we record every single Wednesday. And make sure you follow up with all of our coverage. You can follow us all on Twitter. I'm at Abby_Bitterman, at Nick_Sardis, at Cam_Jordan. Really easy, really plain.
The most original Twitter accounts you ever did see.
And then always all of our coverage at Oklahoman.com.